Hey, welcome to Comfort Food Comics, the podcast. As always, this is your host, Dave Shevlin. With me, my bud, Danny Mofizi. If you've never listened to the podcast, the two of us get together. I have read too many comics. Dan has not read many. So the two of us get together and, you know, we've got some differing, sometimes similar opinions. And we get together, we hash this shit out. For comic stories.
Work it through.
That's right. And then we rank them, each of us giving a score out of 50 until the cumulative score of 100 is ranked on the big board, always stickied. First thing you see at www.comfortfoodcomics.com.
Most important thing on the site, right there.
That's right. It's what it's all about. You know, we're putting all of our effort behind the old podcast, and we have never had more downloads, so I thank everybody listening. It has been a lot of fun lately seeing the stats on this thing. But we have a bit of a change going on. My man Danny is soon going to have his second child.
Yeah, in August.
We've talked about that on here, right? Exciting time.
Yeah, a little girl coming down. Coming down from the stork, you know?
Very, very, very exciting time. And she's due in August, so me and Danny got together, and we are entering single-issue summer on the old podcast.
We talked to old Chet Hanks. We told him, hey, we ain't going to get down with what you're trying to put out, but we're going to take it and do something a little different, you know?
Right, right. Not a... Hot was white it? Boy summer, whatever the hell it is. We ain't doing that. But we're doing single issue summer. So in order to give Dan a bit of a break here to not think about this podcast when his child comes, because why should he? We are banking a ton of episodes. We're recording them, and we are going to be trying to stick to around about an hour each. We're going to be doing shorter episodes where we only feature one single issue for the rest of the summer. There's going to be some obscure ones. There's going to be some old classics, and there's going to be a lot of comfort food comics in there. But it's single issue summer, and it's going to be a fun time.
But it's not all for me. It's for the listener, too. We know you guys. It's the hot summer months. You're out there and about. You know, you want to give you something, some small bites, you know?
You know, when you're sitting out there having a drink on the porch, you only want, you know, your attention span only goes so long.
Right,
yeah.
So, a lot of summer concerts, a lot of summer things. Stuff's opening back up, you know?
People get going during the summer. So we want to do some shorter episodes here.
Lawn fate season. Is that a thing? I don't know if that's even a thing nationally, like, to say that and people even know what that is.
You know,
church carnivals, I guess that's what they would be the best way to describe them. But right. Like here in Western New York, they call them lawn fates, and fate spelled F-E-T-E.
Right, like understood. A lawn party.
And they're just...
Well, because fate's a word in like French, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Fate. A celebration or festival.
Oh. Interesting. Learn something new. But it's the season for, you know, people busy. So
A garden party. Festival. You know, an elaborate festival.
When you're driving to your lawn fate this year, you know, and you're ready to drink some warm draft beer.
That you waited an hour in line to get.
Yeah. Real close to people, you know, real anxious and giving them all shady eyes because you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. Shit, I won't be doing this summer. but the rest of y'all might. So, you know, stay safe. Have fun. But on the way to your lawn fates, your garden parties, hopefully you're listening to us. We're going to just be condensing down and hitting it quicker, you know, focusing in more on what we like about these single issues. So today, you know, we are hitting back up Larry Hama's G.I. Joe, our real American hero. If readers remember our 4th of July special last year, we featured the origin of Snake Eyes on that fantastic episode. But we're coming back to G.I. Joe R.A.H., Larry Hama's wonderful fucking series that we love so dear. Issue number 21, Danny, Silent Interlude. One of the most famous single issues there ever is in comics. Really excited to see what you think, Danny, as you obviously aren't coming in with the historical context of this one being an absolute legendary issue in the industry.
I did not realize that until got to the end, and it was like, oh, I guess this was probably a big deal.
Yes, yes. This is one of, I mean, it's obviously not the first, but it's one of the first all silent issues. There are no caption boxes. There are no word dialogue balloons. It is one of the absolute first that was ever done. It was kind of groundbreaking at the time, and it's hailed as one of like the greatest complete what comics could be as an art form here. So
we're yeah, what's, really do you have any context on like where it came? Like, was this something that Larry really was like pushing for?
I do have context. Yeah. I have read an interview in comics, David Anthony Kraft's comics interview with Larry Hama. And he said he really wanted to just try this out. And that was like late 80s when he was being interviewed about mm-hmm. that. Like, he wanted to see if, you know,
more of a writing exercise, see if he could do it.
Right, like an exercise to see if he could do it. Now, on this one, Larry Hama does the story as well as the breakdowns. And I've seen the breakdowns of his art in the, like, 30th anniversary hardcover of this or whatever. But he does some loose breakdowns, and artist Steve Lealoha does the finishes. George Russo does the coloring. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. But Larry Hama basically sits down and tries to do this thing as much of it himself as he can. And that's what he said there. I have also watched a video where he was at a convention where people asked him what the deal was. He says he went into Denny O'Neill's office. Denny O'Neill, legendary creator, was the editor of this book. And he said, look, we need something in 3 weeks. And you know, they were behind the ball. I guess something was going on. They needed a new G.I. Joe in 3 weeks' time. So Larry said to him, all right, let me go and try to do this shit myself then. I will do the story. I will do the breakdowns. Let me see if we can make this happen. And so he basically decided to do a silent issue. He was going to plot it out with his own art and all this. And he said, you know, if we don't have lettering, that'll cut at least a week off of it. And he said he sat down and he finished it, I believe, in a week, his breakdowns as well as the story for what it was. And when they were getting the finishes, they said, well, what are we going to do here? Who's going to finish this off? And he said, well, I know Steve Lealoha could do this. So he ended up calling him up, getting him involved, and ended up FedExing him all of the art that he was doing, got the finishes done. And as the pages were getting done, they were FedExed back. And he said that they were doing it piecemeal, where every time they got a page, they were coloring it. And they got it done in under 3 weeks' time and got an issue out. And that's, to me, the funniest part about this is that, you know, even before I read the G.I. Joe series, I knew about this because it's always been the, like, one of the most famous single issues ever done, the silent interlude, an amazing tour de force of what this medium can be. And you hear Larry Hama just sitting up there laughing like, yeah, we had to get some shit done.
Yeah, this was a product of, right, you know, timing versus, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, editorial's timing constraints more than like us trying to do some, right, sort of artistic expression of the medium. That's funny.
Exactly. It's so funny. And I mean, Hama has it many times in interviews and stuff said like he did want to try to see what he could do. And I love Hama. Hama's amazing. He's said that, like, he said in interviews and he said in the same panel that he never reads what he writes. Like, so once an issue is done, he never goes back to it. So he was saying especially for G.I. Joe, if he ever got something wrong, well, it was just a retcon he was going to introduce into it that someone else could correct him on, and he'd figure it out for that issue. He says for this one, he was just like, yeah, we'll do whatever. We'll introduce characters. And this is actually the first appearance of Storm Shadow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So as he was saying on the same panel, he was saying, I was just doing whatever. He said he had an idea for ninjas fighting and that the ninjas costume would get ripped and two of the guys would have the same tattoo. He said when he was doing G.I. Joe, he never really plotted anything out further than an issue. So when a new issue would come, he'd just take it from there and do whatever.
Wait. So you're trying to tell me that G.I. Joe, with the thousands like of characters and stuff, like it was just from the hip?
Pretty much. Wow. There was obviously stuff with like the toys and stuff like that, but you know, Larry Hama.
But the storylines between
all the storylines, especially in this, was just Hama just going, yeah, whatever, man.
What are we doing this week?
Exactly.
Damn. Right. That gives me a little more respect for this. Like, just like as a whole, you know, like, I mean, I loved our Snake Eyes, you know, origin story. It was, you could see like the guy's talented, but like, I think I respect it even more where it's just like that creativity to just like, just make it up as you go.
Oh, it's incredible. And it ends up being so good. And in that same con panel, he's like, you know, we had to eventually, a couple issues later, figure out what this guy's whole deal was, as well as the entire deep history he has with Snake Eyes, you know, which I forget what issues the origin of Snake
Eyes. I think it's after this.
It is after this, but it's I think only like five issues after this or whatever. But it's really funny because he was saying how like, look, I just did it when I did it. Like I never had more ideas. I would just come there and I'd picture it in my head. And he also says like, I would picture the story as like a comic. He's like, I'm not really a writer so much as I'm just a guy that has this plot and these pictures in his head that tries to just make it work as he sits down and types it out. So it's really interesting that he got down with this issue and he basically sketched the whole thing out. And Steve Lealoha really just comes in and just makes it look better, you know? But all the layouts, everything that's happening, like Hama has it all in there. But yeah, it's really interesting. This is, you wouldn't believe it, but this is Storm Shadow's first appearance. and he makes the plot beat that he wanted to do of two guys that are fighting and end up having the same tattoo. That's what happens here. And he ends up creating this rich, deep backstory that has endured throughout so many adaptations for so many years now, where everyone looks at this and is like, oh, legendary issue, masterpiece of storytelling. It's just it's a dude going, wouldn't it be sweet if these two dudes got the same tattoo? Yeah, anyways, I'll have this to you in 3 weeks. We can get it done. We could do it. It really shows like mad respect to Larry Hama, you know?
Yeah. Got to give this dude props for this. Cause that is quite a feat to even spit out something out in 3 weeks, let alone, you know, to really push yourself to do something that's not really even like the norm, you know?
Right. It's wild. It was wild to me to like learn more about it and learn that it wasn't, you know, him sitting down with this carefully plotted out, like, oh, we'll get to this issue and we're going to, you know, take a step back, get rid of the dialogue, introduce these characters. And he's like, nah, well, I got 3 weeks. I'm going to draw this one ninja swooping in. He's got Scarlet. And the issues before this, like, you don't even know, like, this is happening. Like, nothing leads into this.
Oh, really? It's not like Scarlet got, oh, right, because if he just was introduced.
Right, No, nothing leads into this.
That's why I assumed that he was an already existing character, because we come in, like, page one, with the title. He's swooping in with her. Like, it's like, right. So I assume, like, at the last page of issue 20, at issue 20 or whatever it is, was this happened of him catching Scarlet.
No, I think it's the issue after this. It's either the issue or two after this that Scarlet gives the exposition on what was happening and why she got kidnapped. But anyone picking up issue 21 is just going to be like, what the fuck's happening here? And you're just introduced to a ninja who has kidnapped Scarlet. So real quick, the plot of this issue, before we go into what we like and what we don't like about it, is Storm Shadow's introduced by kidnapping Scarlet to take her back to like a Cobra headquarters. We see Destro is there. Snake Eyes parachutes in to save his lady love, Scarlet. And we get a fight between Storm Shadow's ninjas and Snake Eyes before Snake Eyes and Scarlet. Scarlet doesn't even need to be rescued, by the way.
Right, yeah. She's like he's fighting it's totally two parallel
plot points,
storylines.
And I think we'll really just hit this like page by page what we like. But like that's fine. So let's just do that. Let's go page by page and talk about what we like. So first page, we've got Storm Shadow swooping into the castle. How do you feel about this page here?
Well, I think overall, like, and it's going to be a recurring theme throughout of this, just like the art in general, like you, it's doing all of the work, but I think it's really like so deliberate with how these panels are spaced out that you get all of the story without needing any words. Like,
yeah,
the way that you're swooping in, you set the whole scene right here. We're in some remote Cobra base. He's coming in. There's a body hanging between his legs. You're like, what's, you know, like it's all.
It is a masterclass in storytelling. Yeah. It really is. Everything you need to know to see what is happening. It's honestly like a storyboard for a film, honestly, where everyone is always like, oh, comics are, you know, a storyboard for later adaptations. I think anyone doing that type of shit these days, like, you know, Mark Miller or Killadelphia should look at this and be
they're ripping Larry Hama off. Like
they should. Well, no, they're not ripping him off. They're doing it worse. And they need to look at Larry Hama a little bit better to get a better sense of what you need to do in your own comic to show fluid motion and storytelling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when he comes in, he swoops down over the like rally that Cobra Commander's like running.
Yeah. Next page, Cobra Commander's running a rally and he swoops down. The sense of movement's all there, him coming down. One of the Cobra people takes away his like jetpack. They hand him a sword. He picks up the sword and that's one page. Great panel.
The panel of him swooping out the sword. I was loving it. Cause I, at this point, it's I'm expecting dialogue at some point, you know?
Oh man, you're right. You came into this without knowing what this is. It must've been a real treat.
Right. As I'm reading it, it's like, you know, for the while, it's like, oh, okay. Like I'm going to get some words here. And then it's just like, I don't think they're going to talk at all. And then I'm like, I don't need them to talk. Like it was a weird, like kind of, almost like the steps of grieving here of like being like concerned, like expecting more, assuming that there's a problem. Maybe, you know, that there's something wrong with what I'm reading. Like it was a misprint or something. And then it's like, wait a second. No, I think this is actually really cool.
Yeah.
So on that second, when it's like, so initially I was just like kind of breezing, you know, it's like, okay, we got this. We sent down like one is, you know, Scarlet's here. Now we're going to get, you know, G.I. Joe's here again, like right where I want you, some bullshit Cobra Commander crap. But, you know, it never comes. But going back through it, like I loved the panel of him pulling that sword out, the way that it's drawn in like
great
color.
Panel.
Great panel. And no then the doubt. Reveal of Scarlet being in when he swipes the.
Right. You the don't know who it is. And then it's like, oh, shit, it's Scarlet.
And she looks great. I think the way that they've
incredibly drawn throughout
the way that she's drawn, like, I mean, everybody's really solid, but I think she's a real standout.
She is the standout
for her character.
She is the standout for me too. She's roughed up, but like she's just drawn so well. Mm-hmm. I love that she's revealed and we get the panel of Cobra Commander with like the shock lines on his face, like, oh shit. And they're like, okay, yeah, like handle it, you know?
Yeah.
And like instantly you're shown that she's going to be interred like in this underground like thing. But on the same page, the last panel is a plane in, I love that the plane is in the like moon.
Oh, the way it's silhouetted by the moon, like it's a silhouette on the moon.
Over the Cobra base with like the big cobras. Like it's just, it's so good. The next page after that is showing the plane and we get further, you know, zoom in on our character and it's Storm Shadow. And this is good old, Commando. Storm Shadow, the Snake Eyes. Ugh, I'm blowing it. Yeah. Snake Eyes, but this is the second version, the second toy that was released of Snake Eyes, where it's his Commando.
Oh, like, where he's got the full.
With the, he's got the guns and shit, and he's got the different face mask and all that.
Yeah, no swords.
Right, no swords. but it's him parachuting in, and that's just a great page of just
the whole page, because when you come back to this, they don't spend. Like every other panel throughout this, it's quick. You know, we're moving. We're getting so much action. But this is, we get a whole page of him jumping out of this this airplane.
Just showing you like the like, oh shit.
Yeah. And he's alone. Like it's Snake Eyes. Like he's a one man fucking army. Like it was so cool. Like you're hyped. Like you see that play, like she's going into that pit. You see that plane on the moon, like, you know, silhouetted in the moon. You're like, oh boy, here comes the cavalry. Like,
right.
They ain't leaving anybody behind. And then, like, you get the plane, and then it's just him in the back.
Right. And just Snake Eyes coming to get his girl.
This huge blade, and it's like, all you need is one, baby. Right. All you need is him.
One man army coming in. It's so cool.
Of course, too. And I'm glad that it's him. Like, they should be together. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like, I'm glad that that's even here. Because I know we saw it in the origin story.
Right, which comes after. I mean, they don't really have, like, a romantic relationship at this point. But there's very clearly something between them.
You could see it here, though, already. There's definitely a few panels, which we'll get to, where you can really feel, like...
Yeah, and I think we'll talk about it more then. But, like, there's, you know, obviously he can't talk. And like it's goes hand in hand with like this issue of where no one else is talking, and with him and her, it's, you know, nothing needs to be said; they're in sync completely, and it's just so cool. Next page, we're in the pit. She's chained up. I love the panel of her, like, you know, like got one fist curled in and is like, fuck this guy, like looking up at Storm Shadow, so pissed. Storm Shadow is like grabbing her face, you know, really lording over. And I love that we get a whole panel of her biting his hand, because of course she'd fucking do that. It's great. It's truly great.
And I love the misdirect of it, where like the panel in between, you know, like she's giving him that squinty look, and then like he's almost like tenderly touching her face in the panel before.
Right, like asserting his dominance, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I'm in control here. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah, I love it. It's such, you feel like all of Scarlet in these three pages, you know, in these five panels.
But you also get an amazing look into Storm Shadow, because Hama gives you the amount of panels to show that dude is fucking pissed. He's about to pull out his sword to fucking kill her. Mm-hmm. And you see then, like, he's... underneath his mask, you can see like his mouth is open, like he's like screaming. Mm-hmm. You can see all the lines in his face, like he's ready to fucking just slice this woman up. And then the next panel, all that goes away, his eyes close, his hand moves away from her head, and he puts his sword back and he leaps out of there. But it just goes to show you, like, both characters, like, he has control over himself, even though he's fucking like pushed, and she's not gonna fucking let anybody stop her, you know. Mm-hmm. Great, great, great storytelling for the characters there. Next page, we have to check in on our boy Destro.
It seems so weird, this, like, you know, to introduce him. Like, I get it, like, because, you know, he's kind of, it plays later on, like, it's good story, but like, it was a jarring transition to be like, all right, it's like, because the outside of the base doesn't feel like we're at the same base. Right, so I'm like, is this dude on the moon right now?
Right, yeah. He doesn't really need to be here, but this is like a whole page to show you what his deal is. Again, he's the calculating dude in his, you know, weapon system. Like, of course, he's the only one that's going to show dialogue is his computer, because he's always fucking dialed in. That's that's our boy Destro, you know, always got the information.
And I love that he's thinking about... like, all right, if the Joes were to attack right now.
Right, we saw a plane. Yeah. We saw a plane. And his computers are set up to look at a plane as well as the weather and everything going on and give him a percentage readout if somebody could get the fuck in this castle. And we get a 0.000018% chance. And I love that the page ends with, you know, of course Destro would be a man that puts, you know, his hand on his mouth.
You know? So you're saying there's a chance, like
a small chance, right? Like, that would be what Destro does, and I love that Hama like gets his movements and his whole personality and how he acts. Like, there's a lot here, purposely done, I believe. But it's also showing you how fucking rad Snake Eyes is.
Yeah, that's how I viewed this panel, as it just set up like how fucking cool this dude is.
Well, right, because you go to the next page and it's him with his parachute coming down and hopping right on top of the snakehead.
Right on
you,
top of it.
Fuck you, Cobra, and he's made it.
He might as well have, like, in the set, like, there's the, so it's him coming down and there's three panels. He's practically teabagging the snake.
I think it's very on purpose that it's him coming right down on the head of the Cobra to be like, fuck you, Cobra. Like, it's all on purpose here. It's all on purpose.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah, it's just done so well. Next page.
There's no fluff.
Next page after that is probably my favorite page of the whole issue. I like you're saying how well Scarlett is drawn. I love how she's drawn in these first couple panels here for this next one. We go back to her in the pit and she finds a bobby pin in her hair and puts it between her teeth to get herself out of her locks. But the art here is just so cool to me. I don't know. And it might just,
how do you mean? What's really getting you here?
I just love like how detailed it is, how it starts with her like showing her whole body, but then the zoom in on her face. And there's so much personality, I feel like, in her eyes and like how her face is here. And maybe it's just something I'm feeling, but like, I think
I could see that.
She looks so cool here. I love that we get a close up on the bobby pin, like a super detailed bobby pin, as well as how detailed her glove is there.
Yeah, her finger, yeah.
Right. And I just feel like the attention to detail there is so cool. And the close up on her like teeth holding the bobby pin as it opens. I just love the zoom in that we get here, because there's so many other ways you could have done this. But I feel like starting with a full body figure of her and her hair, and then zooming in on her face full of life of like, yeah, this
character. Like, I'm not like, yeah, I'm not down
not
out.
Like,
yeah.
No, like, yeah. You can feel the, like the fire in her eyes. You know what I mean? And I
like,
love that.
Like that I've been here before moment of like, ah.
Right. No problem. Yeah. Absolutely no fucking problem for her. She figures it out immediately. And I just think the art is so cool there. I don't know. And
no, I agree with
could
that.
Could be full of personal preference, but I love that. We see more Snake Eyes zooming in, taking out the guards, before we flash back to Destro in his lair. And of course,
oh my God,
he has his own chess set of all the players. Now, here's the thing. At this point in time, Baroness was supposedly dead. So all of the chess pieces that are off the board, as we see, are all the dead characters.
I was like, okay,
yeah, so for him, he, you know, he's it. I love it because it's very literal, very corny, but I love the corniness of him being like surveying the playing field and all the players on the chessboard
with my dear Baroness,
his dear Baroness, which he picks up and looks at longingly. And it's really just there to show you, like, you know, where's Destro's head at, you know, and where, like, how are the forces right now? Baroness is dead. What's he going to do? What's going to happen here? It's corny. It's super literal. I think it's really, really dumb, but I also think it totally works for the G.I. Joe franchise, as well as the characters theatrical as Destro, to have this.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. Yeah. I didn't realize she was dead. I thought he was like playing with his chess set, and that he's just like, and my lady
picking up his girl, being like, yeah, I love my girl.
And you, the queen of all.
Right, right.
Sitting right here. Next
I mean, day. He is still thinking that. yeah, it's funny. It's good shit. The page ends showing us Storm Shadow's feet. He's returned to the thing, and we see that he's going to, like, return to where Scarlet is. He Get opens it up. Right. He opens up the thing, and it's great because Scarlet is there with chains to wrap around his neck. And she says, fuck you, man, and pulls him down into it as she lifts herself up out of this hole. And again, it's such cool art. It's showing how capable she is. Like, she got out of this fucking pit. Like, there's this skillful ninja about to get her. And, like, it's great, too, because it shows, oh, Storm Shadow's not just going to take it, because his hand reaches back out to her before she grabs the top, like, lid to the hole and bashes him back in. Great page, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
I love that it's like, it's him and she's overcoming him and not some lackey, you know?
Right, right. It's not like, I've brought you your food, miss.
Yeah, and like, you know, she's sliding in the tray and she takes advantage of the chef, you know, bringing in the meal. Like, no, right, it's the guy. But then, you know, it's right to that hand coming back up is to show he's not going to be some sort of...
Right, he's not going to stay down there long. But she, like, even bashes him again. It's great because it's an equal fight, you know what I mean? They're both, they've both been able to outwit one another, but they're still going to keep clawing at each other till they get out of here. Next page is Snake Eyes out on the parapets, taking out all the troopers for Cobra. Is him just doing his fucking business, you know, throwing knives, knocking people out, really just
is this Cobra design normal for them? Because I'm looking at this and I'm getting real like Starman vibes from this, like with the goggles and the mask and
the
stuff.
The one dude has the goggles here because his helmet's off and like he was wearing goggles, and it's just so that Snake Eyes can put the goggles on.
Right. Yeah.
But the other guys, like that's the
standard. Yeah. The one I was like, I've never seen these like red masks and goggles before. What's this?
Yeah. No, the red like mask thing is the standard. And I think the goggles are just there for story purposes. Next page is him going for his gun before, you know, some of the guys end up getting him before he throws the guy off of the parapet, and then he ends up falling past the window of Destro, where Destro is looking at his chessboard, which is just a great panel.
He's making out with this Baroness figure, and he's like, "What?" Ooh, enters my ancestral home.
Really, really funny. He sees the guy fall out. He's like, "Well, something's wrong." I love that immediately after that, though, is the next panel of him, like, he's out there now. He's got a whole bunch of, like, the cadre behind him, like, and he's rallying the troops with his gun. He's like, come on, men. You see that the light is blinking red now, too, to show that something's going on. So, again, more storytelling of, like, the base alarms.
I missed that. I didn't even realize that there was an alarm there, the red. Yeah,
right, call. Right. So, like, Hama's showing it all. You know, one minute it's Destro looking at his chessboard going, what the fuck? Next, it's all team alert up on the rooftops. Let's go. And he gets up there. He sees one of the Cobra troopers with the helmet and the goggles and the mask on. And the guy's like, he's up there. And they all run past him. And we see that, it's fucking Snake Eyes in disguise. And that is why the guy was wearing goggles. But good shit, you know. I like that it's the old disguise Snake Eyes thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Good page. Next page is Storm Shadow. He's out. I love that the page starts with the like sewer grate off of the pit, showing you that he's not fucking stuck down there. We next see him entering the doorway of his own ninja
like lair. Ninja wing. Yeah.
This is the ninja wing of this Cobra Castle. And he walks in and his like red ninja students are all there. And they hop down ready to go with all their unique weapons. Good shit right there. Next page, it shows Cobra Troopers carrying the sweet-ass jetpack from the beginning that Storm Shadow is on. As Scarlet lays in wait with the chains again, she ends up throwing the chains around the Cobra Troopers and bashing their heads together before she ends up putting the jetpack on herself. I love how happy she is in that last panel.
Well, she should be pleased. She's escaping.
I love the like sequence. I love how much is given to the sequence of her like winding up, the chains being shown wrapping around the dude's neck, and then the impact of the dude's like heads hitting as she knocks him out. One of the things that is done really well here is the action, you know, it almost feels like you're watching like a martial arts movie or something. Mm-hmm. You feel the impact and nothing is left out. You're never like, wait,
what's
how
happening?
Did he catch that? Did he punch that? How did he throw that person? Like, no, it's all shown.
It's almost like a flip book. You know,
exactly. And it's so cool that way. Next page, Snake Eyes looking on over the pit like, the fuck, nobody's here. Before one of the red ninjas with the katana is leering from the ceiling, preparing to attack Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes knows he's there.
Snake Eyes,
knows he's there. He ducks out of his way, grabs the sewer grate, bashes the guy on the head. We see the guy fall down into the pit, and Snake Eyes puts the top on the pit. Again, the sequence of events and action is very clearly laid out and in such a cool way of bashing that guy down again. He's taking care of that dude.
One down.
Right. Next, we see him going up the stairs. You see the other ninja in the reflector of like his commando eye visor. The dude starts doing... This is a real Indiana Jones moment.
Oh, definitely gun to a knife fight.
Yep. The guy starts spinning his side like, I'm here. I'm going to take you out. And I love, again, as I was saying before, like, this is Commando Snake Eyes. This isn't Ninja Snake Eyes. Like, dude's got guns, and he's got grenades and shit. He's not taking out his swords to meet you in honorable combat. Like, this is a member of G.I. Joe, motherfucker. So he takes out a grenade and just fucking throws it at the dude. And I love that. That's all he does. He just tosses it underhand at the guy. And the panel is just the ninja being like, oh, shit, as the grenade gets near his face. And the next page is just the thing going off, blown up, taking care of him.
Yeah, and I love that Larry still, even without the words of explaining all the guns, he still has to give us the military serial
number. Military jargon, yeah, M1A, yeah. Grenade, fragment. Larry is nothing if not authentic. He's not going to fuck around and give you something fake. He knows his shit.
I did really appreciate that. No words in this whole thing, like, you know, the whole Snake Eyes one where it was all the gun lingo.
Right, but, right, exactly.
We're going to get the grenade name.
It's good shit. Blows that guy up. Pretty great. Shows Snake Eye walking past the smoking body up another set of stairs before we see that the other ninja, as well as Storm Shadow, lie in wait on the other side of the door. This next few sequences is how I was saying before about how every action is shown. It's done incredibly well here, don't you think?
This fight's fantastic.
Amazingly, absolutely fantastic. Amazingly well done. The red ninja throws like his chain ball at Snake Eyes. You see the movement of his arm and stuff, but you also see the impact of Snake Eyes catching it. So like you see that it's caught. Snake Eyes goes and rips it around the red ninja's head while the red ninja prepares his scythe, as well as Storm Shadow leaping in, and Snake Eyes ends up putting the chain around the guy's neck to be able to propel him in front of where Storm Shadow is going to slice and dice him, while also showing you that Snake Eyes grabbed the other arm where the scythe was going to go. So you see the impact of that too. You see all the action happening, and it's, I got to this part and I was like, oh man, what's happening? And like, even for a second, I wasn't confused because it's all there, you know? Before he leaps up off and just fucking like jumps on Storm Shadow's face.
Steps on him.
Next.
But I love too how you bring up that point of the, you know, at the beginning, at the top of the episode where this was all to really build to just showing these tattered tattoos next to each other. We see the rip. This is where the fabric rips happen. And right there as he's jumping down, you can see his forearm.
Oh, you're right. The fabric started to rip. You're right. It's good shit. Oh, same panel, though, because Storm Shadow's stuff is starting to unravel, too. Ah, good, 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 good. Damn, good catch. So Snake Eyes runs out the room while Storm Shadow gets back up. You see that Snake Eyes gets outside. At the same time, Scarlet on her jetpack is zooming out of there. It's a great little page of Snake Eyes being like, I'm here for you too. And she's like, oh yeah, my man's here. But Storm Shadow's caught up to him. And there's like a great sequence of like second by second what's happening of Scarlet seeing that, Storm Shadow has come out and he's preparing his sword to throw while Snake Eyes is so involved in this rescue. He doesn't even notice at first. But we end up seeing Scarlet start to descend where the cockback of the throw is about to happen. And she comes down in front of Snake Eyes to sacrifice herself. Really great. Like second by second things here. The sword is thrown. We get a close up on Storm Shadow's eyes. You get the sequence of Scarlet clenching her eyes and grabbing onto her jetpack, basically being like, this is it. I'm gonna die for my dude. But at the same time, you see Snake Eyes go, okay, his hands start to move. And they get in front of it. It does the old, you know, palms together knife sword trick that's in all the, you know, the cliche samurai movies and whatnot. If you can catch a sword, you can stop the blade from cutting you. And the sequence of events of showing the motion of him
just throwing it away. Like
right, right. But it's so good because like you would have to do that, you know? Like if this fucking ninja dude is throwing his fucking katana at your at you and your girl like that. It is in perpetual motion. Like, yeah, you're strong and you're fucking great, but you can't like stop it midair like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that just like Hama has to explain everything, he also has to show that like, no, a man can't just put his palms together.
Yeah, he can't just catch it. He's going to stop all that force. Yeah.
Right.
He's got momentum. He's going to deal with
it above the head. Yeah. As Scarlet watches the whole thing in happiness and amazement. And it's done so well. You see that they take off together. And as he's grabbing onto Scarlet, and Scarlet's like, fuck, so jazzed that they're together and they're out of there. As he said, you see the rip and you see their Arashikage tattoo. And then the final panel of the whole thing is Storm Shadow looking up at them as his arm wrappings come undone and show the same tattoo. Bum, bum, bum.
His is much cooler, the reveal of fabric rolling down him.
Well, sure, yeah. It's not the same as, you know, grabbing your girl, having to hang on.
Yeah, because he's got his, like, you really hold it. Like, why are you not just holding on to the ship, man? Like, you mm-hmm. got her, like, around the mm-hmm. neck. But I love that last panel of Storm Shadow, like holding
incredibly well done. Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's just got his hand like, ah, fuck. But also we,
but like, I'll get this back.
Right. The body posture isn't like, ah, Cobra. It's like, fucking, I know you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, we've been through some shit. I'll get you someday. Like, that's good. It's a good night.
Yeah.
Like, you get all that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so, like, just so cool to me. I love it. I love it so much, man. And that ends the whole goddamn issue.
And it was very impressive. Like, you know,
first timer coming in and catching all this?
Well, I just was expecting dialogue to keep coming. Like, it took me till probably after Snake Eyes dropped into the airport, like off the airplane, where it was like, I don't think, like, this is the gimmick of the issue, is that they're right. not going to talk at all. And then it turned into, wow, I don't even really need dialogue to know what's happened. Like, I get it all without the dialogue. And then I just became more impressed with it as time went on, you know?
Absolutely. It's, you know, a lot of people, like, even hearing that the origins of it are like, oh, he needed to get it done fast. But it also goes to show you, like, how great Hama's mind is of doing a story in his own head, you know, that mm-hmm. he's able to sit down and basically write plot and do the art for this, and just need somebody to come in and just, you know, make it look better, finish it off, you know?
Yeah. And that was probably just more of because he's got to start writing the next issue.
Right. Somebody else has to finish off what he's drawn so he can keep it going. You know, he can't finish all this shit off. And it's such a talked about issue. It's such a big deal in the industry and all that, but coming back to it over and over again. And I mean, even just taking it all in real slowly for this podcast, it totally is worth it, getting all the accolades that it does. I've seen a ton of silent issues. Marvel, even in like 99 or 2000, did Enough Said Month, where every single issue was supposed to not have dialogue, and there's some real fucking stinkers in there.
Well, I could definitely see how this formula is very easy to screw up.
Yeah. And I think you need to be the dude that does the layouts to make this work. Like, some of the Enough Said issues are like, oh, I'm gonna write it for someone else to do, and it's like, that just, to me, that just doesn't work. You need to be able to have some part in the, like, art of the thing.
For sure, because the art's telling the story. I mean, the art's always telling the story, like, in a big way, but, like, it's telling the entire thing.
The entire thing, yeah.
You know, if there's any sort of disconnect there, it's not, it's going to show. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love this. I think this is another fantastic issue of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. It's Hama at his fucking best, just grooving, throwing whatever the fuck he thinks that week into the comic and going, well, I guess I'll figure out who this ninja is in in a couple more issues.
I got the same tattoos.
We don't name him here. Yeah. We don't name him. No one knows who he is. Just white ninja, you know?
I love that it's just like, I want him to have same tattoos. That's what we're going to, we got to
at the end of this.
Yeah, we need to reveal that these two ninjas are that have been fighting have the same tattoo.
It was hilarious when he was talking about it, because he's like, well, I wanted two dudes to have the same tattoo, and he's like laughing, and it was like, I thought it would be a real cool fight if that's what's shown at the end. And he was talking about the I Ching like tattoos and like the Chinese like symbols and language. And he goes, I needed one that would make sense to me and I could remember it right. So I went with like this version of it, and I just, you know, I put it on their arm. It's like, oh, it's so funny. Like, just dude's like, yeah, this would be a cool set sequence. Let's do it.
The fucking 80s, man. Like,
right. Just well, and
do what you want, dude.
Right. Like, that's what I was thinking about, is that like so many of these comics and these stories and these creators that we revere like today, like the Alan Moores and the Hama and all these comics where it's like masterpiece of the medium. And it's like, these were just dudes doing a job and doing it in whatever way they could figure out at the time, because it was a fucking free for all, Wild West, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I had this idea. I think it would be cool where a couple young dudes, you know, there are no multi-million-dollar Disney contracts where we have to make sure everything's
good. Yeah, we got to vet this through somebody first.
Right. It's just like, yeah, I think I could get it done in 3 weeks. Let me try it. And we'll do it. And it's like, oh, here's Storm Shadow for the fucking first time. Here's what all the movies and all everything else from G.I. Joe basically springs from, this fucking issue, because it introduces all of this backstory for these two characters that are like
the two popular
culture phenomenon, you know? And it's like, yeah, this is just Larry Hama being like, 3 weeks? All right, sure. And that's wild to me. And I think that's something that's really missing from not only comics, but like media of today's age, where everything's owned by the same conglomerate and everything is an IP farm for other media and shit like that. Nobody is really sitting there being like, yeah, I'm just going to try fucking something. And if it latches on to what people like, it happens.
Oh my, you can't do that, because fucking people suck and they can't handle like
that too.
Being like, oh, this really wasn't that great, but like, let's keep going, you know?
It's right.
You know, like you wouldn't give someone the flexibility to do this if this type of thing, you'd have to seed something like an issue like this for years, ongoing plots, you know, to sort it all out. Like you can't give people that kind of, you know, lead anymore, because the audience can't fucking handle it.
Yeah, that too. I mean, people couldn't handle WandaVision coming out weekly. And, you know, like brains are so fucking warped these days with how everything is that, like, yeah, you can't do this no plan, just come to it every month and write whatever you want. And it's
refreshing. We saw that in the most recent Star Wars trilogy, and maybe that didn't work out.
Well, we did see that in the Star Wars trilogy, and it kind of fucking sucked.
Yeah, so there is a balance to be had. This could be done really well.
I mean, it sort of worked in the middle when you had another dude come in and be like, I got ideas, let's throw them at the wall. And honestly, you know, what's his name, Rian Johnson?
Yeah.
He's a little bit like Hama, just doing what he's doing.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Right.
But you got to give the lead. You got to have the confidence to say, Larry, all right, you'll figure it out. Like,
right. Larry's writing the next issue. Rian Johnson didn't get to write the next issue.
Yeah, but had everybody, you know, had the world come out and revolted as Larry Hama. Last month's issue of G.I. Joe was an absolute travesty. Maybe Marvel wouldn't let him write the next one. I don't
probably
know.
Probably not.
Honestly, probably they would.
They like absolutely would, because he got an issue done in 3 weeks, and that would be the most valued skill
probably for
to
like
anyone in comics. Yeah, they would be like, oh, great, we don't give a fuck. You got it done in 3 weeks. We love you. Here's a bonus. Please keep writing this.
Here's $10 more, Larry.
Right. It now has a super successful cartoon and toy line, and we're making so much money. Thank you, Larry, for creating these characters.
But that's that. There are characters.
Any more thoughts on this bad boy?
No, I was just impressed start to finish, you know, once in hindsight, realizing like what this really was at the end of the read, it is truly an impressive issue to digest and to appreciate.
It is. So where would you rank this bad boy?
I rank this one relatively high, because I really was in awe of it and like kind of blown away like at just the craftsmanship and the storytelling. So it got a couple bump points for me in that. So I have this one as a 42.
Wow. Okay. I gave it a 45.
Okay.
Because it's not one of those ones where, you know, I'm losing my fucking mind over it.
Right. Yeah.
But I love it as a craft thing. I love it for the characters. I think it's cool as fuck. And for me, like a 45 is
yeah, it's, you're in it's the
as,
40s.
Yeah, 45 for me is as perfect as you can get. And then the 45 to 50 is my comfort food fucking bump, you know?
Yeah.
So 45 plus 42, that gives it an 87 on the list. So let's see what that ties with.
That's got to tie with some.
That ties with Afterlife with Archie 6. That was the Sabrina Marries Cthulhu. Yeah. And it also ties with Solo Avengers 14, She-Hulk in Court Costs. The perfect She-Hulk story.
With her and Titania, right?
Right. Chris Claremont, Alan Davis. Really, really good story. It is very similar, strangely, but
both those two being scored the same. That's interesting because they are very much similar, like
very similar
playing with like the concept of a story.
Right.
The scientific method bearing fruit again.
That's right. So where would you put it above any of those?
This I'm going to remember, and this is going to stick with me more.
I think you're right.
Then both of those, I think.
I agree. I think that's a very good reason to put it right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that goes in the list at 28. Very, very high showing for it. G.I. Joe number 29.
Nice.
It's an 87. Okay, and there we are at 50 minutes. That's what single issue summer is going to be all about, people.
Hot summer day.
Listen take to us sip. For 50 minutes. Take a sip. Cold one. And read the whole ranking of our list at comfortfoodcomics.com. You can find me online on Twitter at Dave Shevlin. You can find the podcast and the site at CFC site. Danny, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at @_DannyMo. And then you can also follow Comfort Food Comics, the podcast, on Instagram. You can search us there and follow us along on that platform as well.
Good stuff. And happy single issue summer. And hopefully you come back for the next one real soon.
Y'all come back now.